So when it comes to soul winning, that's the Romans road. Then last week I taught you, we talked about the subjects. And we're going to start here, we're going to review here and get right into where we were last week. Every verse has a subject matter. Okay? I told you a couple things last week. First, I told you that when I go out soul winning, I carry a New Testament with me. I keep it in my pocket. Right now I got a thing in there, but I keep it in my breast pocket, and this way folks don't think of anything when I'm coming to them. When I was a young Christian, when I mean young Christian, I was just a few months old, and I was... But I learned that we're supposed to be soul winners. Amen? But I didn't know anything about soul winning, and at that time, the man who had led me to Christ had moved on, and another pastor hadn't come in yet, and I started learning that I needed to go soul winning. So, I picked up my big old Bible. Thanks. I took my big old Bible, and I decided I was going to go out and tell people about Jesus. And I'd walk out down the road, folks would see my Bible, and they'd run away. It was like someone turned on the lights in the middle of a dark kitchen, and all the roaches got scared and ran off. Amen? And so I realized that I needed to do something different. So for me, I like holsters. So I made me a Bible holster. Amen? It was up through the shoulder, roundabout, Bible holster. And I took my big old Bible, and I put it into my Bible holster, and I put my genuine imitation leather jacket, vinyl jacket, that I had back then, and I went out and started talking to people. And then I'd say, if you die, would you like to go to heaven? They'd say yes, and I'd reach inside my coat. Someone would duck. They didn't know what was coming out. And I'd take my Bible out of my Bible holster. And that would all come 66 books all in one shot. Amen. And it wasn't really offensive, but you have to kind of put it aside so people don't see it coming. Because some people will talk to you, and some people think you sell flowers at the airport. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Them crazy Jesus people, you know, they're them crazy ones. Them crazy guys. Well, that's what they think. So I carry a New Testament with me. I told you last week that in my New Testament is made I use it just for soul winning. I have a card that begins at the right place. I have it in my Bible, so I can go right to it. After that, I have every verse marked. I have it circled. I have it underlined so that I can see it. It popped out to me, so I can take my finger and show it to the person that's there. I go through that. I told you last week I use Revelation 21:8 in my plan because it works for me. I dog-ear the page so it goes right there to it. When I talk about eternal security, I use Hebrews 13:5. I have a marker there so I can go right to it so that I don't have to fumble through my Bible. Let's see now, where was that in the Bible? I know it's in here somewhere. So I haven't talked to many people about Jesus, but I think you might be the first. And I know there's a verse in there that says something I should know. And that's how we fumble around, and that makes you feel incompetent. And you have no confidence. But if you'll get a plan, and understand the plan, put the plan to work in your life, then your confidence will grow. And as you talk to someone, you won't worry about something like this. Well, I got a question. Anybody ever said to you while you're trying to talk to them about Jesus, I got a question, and you never get back to where you started? And here's what I do. What's your question? Uh-huh. Well, somebody give me a question that somebody might ask while you're out soul winning. Give me any question at all. Can Jesus make something so heavy that he can't pick it up? I've been asked that question before. And I say, that's a good question. That's a good question. And I'll get to that right after I'm done with this.
Amen.
Amen. And what generally happens is once they receive Christ as Savior, they forget about that. Sometimes I've had to come back to it and say, I don't know the answer. But I'll find it out for you and we'll talk about it again. Gives me a new context. Gives me a reason to go back and talk to them.
Right.
Amen? So don't be afraid of questions. Questions can't hurt you. Why we're afraid of them is because we're not confident in the plan we have while we're telling people about Christ. So the first thing is the subject. And the first subject is Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. I use them together as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The subject there is we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Everybody goes to this church is a sinner. Our preacher is a big sinner. Amen? And I use that. Even when I'm the pastor of church, and I'll say, isn't that pastor buddy, he's a big sinner. And they laugh. Because that's part of my personality. See how I use my personality when I talk to people? You know why? It makes them feel comfortable. I'm just being who I am. People can tell when you're a fake and a phony. Amen? So the first subject is Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. I use the verses together. I read them two times and I talk about everyone's a sinner. And I just did something I don't know what I did wrong. Anybody know what I did wrong? Can you hit play back there and there or something? Do you know what to do, brother? We have something. Not sure what it is. All right. Too far along. Can you find the slide around that says the subject? That's the top one.
I'll be right back. No, that ain't that either. Coming, we're getting close.
Yeah.
Hey, there we are. Right? No, one more. Broke the window. No, here we go. All right. Thank you, brother. Just in case I mess up. Which is more than likely going to happen. All right. The second one, our second in our subject is, there we go, Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12 and Romans 6:23. And the subject is, we are all sinners, and there's a second death in hell. I told you that at this point in my program, I go to Revelation 21:8. And that's because it works better for me. It goes along with my mind and my thinking, and we're going to get to that a little bit later. Then, I think this is where we left off last week, but I'm not sure. All right, there it is. In the Romans 5:8, the subject is, but God loves us and made a way for us to be saved. Or He made a way for us to go to heaven. It should be to be saved and go to heaven. There's a word be missing in there. But He wants us to go to heaven. God loves you. God loves me. You know why the average person doesn't receive Christ as Savior? Because all they've heard is the hell part and not the love part. If we'd spend more time talking about how much God loves us,
right. Then
people would receive Christ much easier.
Amen.
My dad was a scientist. He had a very difficult time with faith, though he went to church. And over a period of time, my dad finally came to the conclusion that God had to be right, because when you put science to everything, science isn't always right. And he found that if you just followed science when it comes to creation, you have to break scientific laws in order for creation to have happened. The way that the scientists believe it when it comes to a Big Bang theory, for example. My dad said science is flawed as a scientist. And he finally was able to come to the place where he could put his trust in Christ, in faith, believing. Because he learned that God loved him. Listen, we are all sinners. And the only reason any of us are going to heaven is because He loves us. Not because we're smart. Not because we're cute. And I am cute. And not because we're intelligent. Hey, enough comments from the peanut gallery back here. Not because we like people. Not because, listen, I was 12 years old. I was in a world of hurt, trouble. I was always in trouble. Yeah, I know you can't believe that, but I was. I know it's tough to believe, but it happened.
And one day, at the age of 12, my dad and mom just had so much in me, they didn't know what to do with me. They drove me down to the Catholic Church. It was a Saturday afternoon. And they said, Mass is going to start right now. And you go in that church building and don't you come out till you get your life straightened up. I didn't know what to do. I was 12 years old. I went into the church building, walked up the 1,000 stairs of marble to get into the church building. Walked in and I said, hello, and went, hello, 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 hello. How are you? You know, because it's all marble inside and all the people were coming in. And I sat there. And I listened and I watched. And then finally I got up and walked out. I wasn't sitting on the steps, the 1,000 steps that came up to the church building. And I sat there and I said, 12 years old, I'm going to hell. And I know it. And there isn't anything I can do to stop it. I said, I used to carry Jesus in my pocket. And I don't mean a rosary. I was an altar boy. So I'd take a bunch of hosts in my hand and pop Jesus throughout the day every time I'd do something wrong, you know. And that didn't help me. It didn't change anything in my life. I was still as wicked as I was always been. And I realized for the first time in my life I was a sinner. And I was on my way to hell. And there wasn't anything I could do to stop it. I couldn't be good enough. I already knew. If I put all the good on one side and all the bad on the other side, buddy, that bad side was loaded heavy. And there was just no change in that. It was already done. That's just done. My awakening church ended and people came out. And they left. And I sat there on the steps waiting for my dad to pull up. And finally he pulled up. And I walked down the 1,000 stairs of marble down to the street side. And my dad said, did you learn anything I did? I said, I did. He says, what's that? I said, I'm going straight to hell. My dad said, well, you're right. there wasn't any good news. I didn't know Jesus loved me. I didn't know that Jesus had paid my sin debt already. I didn't know any of that. And no one in that church was able to tell me any of that. I went to the priest and I talked to my seniors and I talked to other folks and I'd say, listen, how can I go to heaven? And they'd say, you better straighten up your life. And I'd say, I can't straighten up my life. I got to the point in my life at one point, I said, well, if I'm going to hell, I'm going to have a good time on the way, buddy. And it did change me for the worse. When I got saved, I wasn't in any trouble as far as running to get out of something. I was having me a time of my life, having a great time in sin. Had money in my pocket. I was going somewhere, hell. But I was going somewhere. And then I heard the gospel. And the Holy Spirit's the one that convicted me. I wasn't in trouble. I was having a good time. I was drinking, smoking, taking drugs. Didn't know for 3 years in a row what it was like not to be high. I mean, I didn't know one day. I probably didn't know 3 hours. First thing I'd do when I get up is I'd light up a marijuana cigarette called a joint. Anybody who smoked weed knows exactly what happened. And you start to take off a little bit, and you take another hit, and you take another hit, and you get high. And I functioned. And I thought I was having a great time. And then a preacher told me that Jesus loved me. I said, how could he love me? He said, he does. He said these words, and I've never forgotten them. Doug, if you are the only human being in the whole world ever to sin, Jesus would have gone through everything he went through and died on the cross just for you. That's how much he loves you. Amen. And you know what? I tell people the same thing today. Because we don't know. When I heard that Jesus loved me, you can't run from that. You can't get high enough. You can't go far enough. 21 years old, I heard a sermon on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The first sermon I ever heard. I didn't get saved. I got to the car and I grabbed my marijuana pipe. As soon as I got in the car and I lit that cigarette, whoosh, and the whoosh match went, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I took a hit off the pipe and the air as it came out went, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I went through it for a week. I mean, everywhere. On Sunday, Saturday night, I got done performing. And I got as high as a man could get and live, and I got as drunk as a man could get and live. And at about 4:30 in the morning, I said, I don't know what's going on here. I need some help. And I know that preacher gave me a little piece of paper somewhere with this phone number on it. He said, call any time. This is any time. I called him. Woke him up. Whoa. I said, this is Doug Markle. You probably don't remember me, but I came to your church last Sunday. There's not a lot of ways to forget how I looked back then. And so I know we know who I was now, but he said, I know who you are. And I said, good, what's this getting saved stuff? He said, I promise I'll show you from the Bible if you'll come this morning to church. And I said, it's a deal. I'll run. I passed out after that, a little while after that. Woke up in the afternoon, about 2 or 3 o'clock. I called my wife's mother. They're the ones that took me to church the first time. And I said, hey, listen, I don't know how to get to your church, but I want to go. I want to talk to that preacher about heaven. I don't know how to get there. I can get to your house. If I get to your house, will you lead me to church? She said, why, sure. I don't know what the preacher preached on, but I knew that Jesus loved me now. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift from God, not of works. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the fact that God loves you. And I think we forget about that. And it's not bad to emphasize hell. We should let folks know what the punishment for sin is. But we do need to emphasize the love. The fact that God loves me. God loves you. God loves our neighbor. I had a preacher friend who got saved. He was an adult drunkard. Every day he moved into this one house and a preacher moved into the next house next door. And every day he'd come home from work, the preacher would come home from the church office, the preacher would come out of the house and say, hey Carl, Jesus loves you. And Carl would say, shut up, leave me alone, I'm going inside to get me a drink. For years, 2 or 3 years it was, every day. Hey, Carl, Jesus loves you, and so do I, praying for you. But then Carl got saved. Carl became a preacher. I don't know if you ever heard of him. His name was Carl Hatch, the greatest individual soul winner in the 20th century. My friend. I love him dearly. I miss him. But he was concerned. Carl couldn't read when he got saved. He'd say, let me show you how to go to heaven. What's that say right there? He knew he had it all marked. He just couldn't read it. Now what's that one say right there? Well, did you just read it from the Bible? Then that's what God said. Let's take Jesus as your Savior. That's great. But we forget that God loves us. And we forget that God loves mankind as perverted as we are. Amen. The next one, the next subject, is Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. And the subject is the promise. There it is. The promise to take us to heaven. God gives you and I a promise. It's found in Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord
shall be saved.
Amen.
Whosoever means anybody, doesn't it?
Right.
So I can put my name there. That means if Doug called upon the name of the Lord for the purpose of being saved, Jesus would save Doug. It doesn't say whosoever goes to church.
Right.
Doesn't say that.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't say whosoever will be a Baptist.
Right.
Does not say that.
Right.
Doesn't say whosoever will be good the rest of their life.
Right.
It does not say that. Doesn't say whosoever is baptized as a child,
right,
sprinkled, dunked 3 times 4, 4 times back, held down till the bubbles come up. Doesn't say anything like that. It says whosoever.
Amen.
Meaning absolutely anybody, period.
Amen.
That means that person that maybe you don't like, who rubs you the wrong way, you know, that they need to get saved just as much as you needed to be saved. Amen? That person that gets on your nerves, drives you nuts at work, and always just like, get away from me! You ever see that comedian that would, this is for all you old people only, that comedian that would go, get off of me! And throw things. There wasn't anything there. Did anybody remember that guy? Ed Sullivan Show. And he was hilarious. I thought he was when I was young. But that's, you know, there are people that make you feel that way. Don't invade my personal space. In fact, don't even come into the same room I'm in. But you know, they need Jesus just as much as
Amen.
You do. Just as much as I did. And their only hope is us. Just to tell them. Our job is to give the gospel message. I don't have to worry about anything after that. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict them of their need to be saved. So those are the subjects. Those are the four subjects. The promise is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not whosoever goes to church. Not whosoever is good. Not whosoever does a good tap dance. Doesn't say anything like that. It just means anybody. Anybody. And you know what I was? And you know what I am? An anybody. Just a plain old anybody. And so anybody can go to heaven. I'm glad he doesn't put any name there. I'm glad that God says whosoever. Because every name can go there. Brother Lonnie. Lonnie. If Lonnie called upon the name of the Lord, Lonnie would be saved. We've been praying for that for a long time, Brother Lonnie. It doesn't matter who we are. Jesus will save us. If Miss Debbie would finally ask Jesus to come in her heart, we would all rejoice. Amen, Miss Debbie. Amen. But it's just it's anybody, anyone's name. And so I don't want to avoid that. I want to use that. And when I talk to people, I want to put their name there. Because that's a promise. Let me ask you this. Ask you a question here. Can God break His promise?
No.
No. Is God a liar?
No.
So if God's not a liar, and He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that means if Fred called upon the name of the Lord for the purpose of being saved, then Jesus would save who?
Fred.
That means if Doug called upon the name of the Lord for the purpose of being saved, Jesus is promising he'd save who? Why? Because Doug knows something that everybody else doesn't know? No, only because he promised it. God keeps His promise.
Amen.
By the way, I'm going to let them know that that's God's promise. I want them to know that that's God's promise. It's not a church's promise. Now I tell people that. The church doesn't promise this to you. Central Park Baptist Church doesn't make this promise. God made this promise. So in order then, if I take Jesus as my Savior, if I call upon the name of the Lord for the purpose of being saved, then I'm what? Saved. What if I don't act any different? Am I still saved?
Saved.
It doesn't say anything about action, does it?
Right.
It doesn't say anything about church attendance. So if I don't come to church, am I still saved?
Yes.
And who says I'm saved? You, the church, or Jesus?
Jesus?
He's the one that promised it. So then for me to go to hell, who would have to be a liar?
God.
And He's not a liar. So I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Why? Only because Jesus promised it to us.
Right.
And I'm going to depend on that promise.
Amen.
few things before we go. I think that's up there. It doesn't come up, huh? Let's see, try it again. There we go. All right. As I go soul winning, I want to go with a few things on my heart and mind. And so do you. And that's this. Everyone will spend eternity someplace. Everyone will spend eternity someplace. Heaven or hell. There's no other choices. You're not going to stay here. Amen? You're not taking anything with you. You're going, whether somebody believes in God or doesn't believe in God, it does not matter. Because it's not dependent on us. This is God's policy. He created us. He created heaven, and then He created hell. He never created hell for man. He created hell for the devil and his cohorts. But man got caught in the trap of sin. And when man got caught in the trap of sin, God said, I'm sorry, I already made this rule. It's already a law. I can't change it. And the rule is, if you're a sinner, you die and go to hell. Right. So He said, I got a plan. My plan is I love you and I don't want to go there. So I'm going to send my only son to die in your place so that you could go to heaven. So everyone's going to spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. It is my responsibility as a Christian to give as many people as possible the gospel message so the Holy Spirit can use the Word of God to convict and convince people of their need for a Savior. Amen. That's not my job, but I want to think about that as I go. As I go soul winning, as I talk to other people, this is so ingrained in me now after years and years and years of thinking about this. I got one little story, and then we're done for tonight. Okay? My wife and I and my kids, we were traveling in a big bus across America in evangelism. We were in Los Angeles, California. And we're driving down the road, Route 101. If anybody knows what 101 is in California, it's really this big, long parking lot. Traffic doesn't go, it's horrible there in California. I mean, in the middle of the afternoon, you can be crawling through traffic and caught in the big traffic jams. And we had this big old 43-foot bus that we converted into an RV. And we lived in it as we went from church to church and held revival meetings. I didn't want to miss my family. I didn't want my family to be with me. So I needed a way to go, and so we built an RV. Amen. It was very comfortable for us. It was very nicely done. And we're driving down the road, and there's laws when it comes to driving. And sometimes I don't know all the laws. Odd. But traffic finally started to move in the left two lanes, and I was in one of the right three lanes. And so I went from the third from the right lane into the first left lane and started traveling down the road with a big old diesel bus. And finally, that started backing up a little bit. I got into the far right left lane, and I was sailing down there because that was the only one that was going. And along comes a police officer on a motorcycle. Hey! I had my window open. I said, how you doing? He said, you need to move over two lanes. You don't belong over here. You're a big vehicle. I said, they're not moving. He said, that's okay. It's over there. I said, okay, thank you. Have a great day. Turned on my turn signal. Moved one lane. Moved the other lane. And sat back in traffic, waiting for the cars to move once again. We traveled those next 2 days, and we ended up at our home in Longview, Texas. We woke up the next morning and picked up the newspaper. And on the front of the newspaper was the news of the earthquake that had just hit Los Angeles, California that night. And on the front page was a motorcycle police officer coming down to 101, suspended in air, because his next stop was on the concrete below. And I remember almost crying. And I said, I wonder if that's the same guy I talked to. I never gave him a track. I never invited him to church. I never told him Jesus loved him. He's probably dead. And I never gave him anything about Jesus. Everyone will spend eternity somewhere. So as we go out and we visit and we see people, we need to remember everyone spends eternity somewhere, either heaven or hell. And I don't know by looking at you if where you're going. You don't know by looking at me. Shoot, if folks get to know me real good, they know I'm not going to heaven. But but we need to tell them. And that's what God's asked us to do. That's what the Great Commission is about. We got a lot more to go through on here, but I want to stop there for today. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that we let people know about eternity. Can I give you a little exercise? How many get a newspaper still? Anybody get a newspaper? I know it's old-fashioned to get a newspaper. One person gets a newspaper. How many get an electronic newspaper? How many can go to DallasMorningNews.com? How many will do that? In the DallasMorningNews.com, you know what you can find? A tab that says obituaries. You'll find it in every newspaper in America. You go in there and you open that up and you look at every name and you say, did they go to heaven or did they go to hell? Because they went somewhere. You say, well, I don't know. Well, why don't we know? We're supposed to know. Did they go to heaven or did they go to hell? Did they go to heaven or did they go to hell? And you know what you're going to find out? An awful lot of people died the last few days. Went off into eternity. And if they didn't hear it from people who give out the gospel message, then where did they hear it from? People down the road here with the dome on their building? They didn't tell them. I told you, I went to a church and I knew I was on my way to hell. And I sat there on the top step at 12 years of age and I talked to the priests that were in charge and they could not tell me how to go to heaven. Even after I got saved, I went over there and I said, can you tell me how to go to heaven? And they said, be real good. Say your prayers. And if you're in real trouble, pay some money and we'll have people pray for you. Out of purgatory. And then maybe you won't go to hell. Maybe you'll go to purgatory. And then one day you might go to heaven.
Hopefully.
There's a lot of hope there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. And then I am really done. I got a little offended last week. Not with anybody here. I was watching Nancy Reagan's funeral. And I thought about all those people that were out there that did not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I don't know what that preacher believed, but they surely didn't believe anything. Because they gave no hope of any kind of eternal life. And maybe, hopefully, someday they could be. And I thought about Reagan's kids that didn't know Jesus Christ as Savior. I know that's true. And I thought, what an opportunity blown. The world was watching. And he could have just gone through a simple plan of salvation. Because Ronald Reagan believed in salvation by grace and faith. And someone could have given the gospel message and given the opportunity for people to let the Holy Spirit do His work and give them an opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. This world has no hope without Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You for what we've learned tonight. Thank You for the way You love us. Thank You for the time we've taken. Lord, there's so much more for us to learn on this subject of winning people to Christ. And we've just really begun.